I'd spent days of careful calibration, so the stacks I'd lined up on the staircase leading down to the entrance hall within my parents' sizable, though musty, house were tidy, if teetering, towers. The largest of these, which I'd spent the bulk of the last month on, were the ones related to my education, a gamble that had put my speculative parents, who had no precedent for such a choice, considerably out of pocket. On top of that, a nagging sense had grown between them that they'd exchanged their once bright, playful, effusive son with a changeling. As I moved through university and was plopped into an appropriate career which I deliberately disintegrated over the next 15 years, I found I was unable to disagree with their prognosis, which I noted began to fill their shared diaries, arranged a few steps down from my education. And it wasn't that I'd entered a new strata, been risen aloft, as had been intended by their game of craps. Everything was uncanny. It was not really there. I'd become a meagre reflective entity that the world projected on, haunting wherever I wandered, the air thickened or chilled, invisible. My presence would occasionally cause a ripple on the wall that could be mistaken for a human, refracted light to approximate a person in front of them, but perhaps I'm still being worked on, or unfinished. I should clarify my methods, my system of annotating the collection, but only after the organizational aspect of the physical material by an ignorant archivist, used to arranging artifacts in to either bin or fire, has been covered. So, recent circumstances had brought middle-aged memory to dance within these three columns, an inventory of a childhood of sorts, each dissected into sub-piles within the step they rested on, one for official school documents, reports, certificates, class photos, exercise books, another of personal notebooks, diaries, the stuff that illuminated the moments gathered in the previous pile, and finally, a vague, miscellaneous one, a hybrid of newspaper clippings reporting events, scandals and magazine articles to the right of that. Receipts and invoices lay on this step too, thousands of them, still legible, ink-printed ones, rather than the cloudy, thermal-printed variety that become small slips of empty paper for users' shopping lists. After the initial fortnight of separating the clutter, skipping furniture, linen, dresses in garment bags and suits reeking of naphthalene, I'd found, beneath a pile of neatly folded but damp school uniform, a box of the alumni newsletter piled to near overflowing, yet somehow bone dry. The foremost, dated only last year, was pleasingly still shrouded in its cellophane sleeve, as were the previous dozen. Having broken their seal, it was fitting to place them in reverse order, but rested in a sequence appropriate for time travel, each issue placed with its sibling, a calm surface belied, an undertow. Why was I published if it wasn't for you? And why be here now and not browse? My hands, hypnotized first, peeled open the cover before I could catch them. The contents, the headmaster's editorial, the beginning of the gloss, a veneer freshly applied every year, and below that, I began my own personal index of their pages. I had to, theirs wasn't fit for purpose. My intention, set long ago to forget so much of my life, hopefully the whole period encompassed within the larger sprawl of these periodicals. Failing that, trying to reduce it all to a harmless first act, where the actors enter in elaborate costumes amongst wooden sets, cardboard props, a loose mingling of facets before the hero is dragged off into the real plot. And anyway, if that too broke down, the whole spectacle itself just a production, housed in a backwater, in and around the grounds of some stately home, I could close the cumbersome front door upon, walk ahead through the keeper's gate, and finally abandon, hoping the natural order could rectify what wilted me. such resolve, at best naive, at worst a turn formed in the end of a rope. What I ventured to picture as pantomimic was, if this is possible, portentous. Presently on the landing these piles had come apart, scattered around me, by me, and that sweet fruit my delusion craved, in fact bitter, as I knew it was and could only ever be. Pictures, words, events recounted. The yearly cycles, the dizziness, the barbarity. At lunch I sat in the Gob and Seer tavern, nursing half a shandy, forking kidney around my plate, searching for moisture. A couple of old grunts at the bar were bickering over the news, silently playing on the TV, decoding the semaphore of newsreader gesticulations punctuated with, in its muted form at least, ostensibly random footage. Their disagreement soon curdled into flying fists, lumps lumping until they were separated by the landlord and a couple of kitchen staff. "They are not in disagreement," I scrawled next to one of the morning's lists. "They are the same thing. All distinguishing marks are superficial. They were performing their understanding of love." I slept fitfully until the morning when the pills submerged me fully. Fires raged through successive visions. Gorse that had sprung up along my escape route parched, attracting the flames to the path. Encircling me, I plunged into a pond where I sheltered. Then, gone. The panorama cleared, revealing a lapsed world which flooded with life again. I staggered, drenched, up the stone steps to the entrance hall, eyes closed, following the curve of the banister with my hand up the staircase, past pupils heading to breakfast towards the library, clutching my papers. A figure silhouetted by the sunlight exploding through the window, my voice calm. Sheet after sheet filled with accurate indexes is my offering to you. Some slack was in order, don't you think? Or the bite will never fit around my head. The floor sunk, dropping while I remained suspended. Thank you. Perhaps, as I mentioned, I'm still being worked on, or toyed with, I proposed, my wife frowning at the paperwork I brought home. Maybe. You know, I just think you need to grow up a little.